You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Again, Spec, good afternoon. How you doing?
Having a great day today. Jay, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, there's lots going on. The Jays had another great comeback last night, gets their fans all fired up. The building is rocking. Boston loses today, so that continues to help them. The Yankees got absolutely obliterated last night. So, you know, we are crunching the numbers on the Jays. They go 10-8. They pretty much punch their ticket to finish first because New York would have to go 14-4, and Boston would have to go 13-3. To catch them. So a pretty good chance here for the Jays. And obviously, if you go 11-7, well, then it's even harder for those. And they'd have to go like 14-2 if you're Boston, and 15-3 if you're New York. So pretty good odds there on that one. It is interesting. Kirill Kaprizov turns down that massive 8-year, $128 million deal, Spec. And I know people are speculating. I think it's term, Spec. I've been talking about this for a long time. I think the superstar players, like, with the salary cap so unpredictable here, I don't know if I want to go long term.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we don't know. You know, it's easy to say, oh, he turned down, you know, 8 years, $128 million. What's going on here? That's, I mean, what is that? $15 million a year?
$128 million.
There you go. So, you know, what you don't know is his cap may be telling Bill Guerin, we want 4 years, and that's all we want. And Bill Guerin may not be offering 4 years. So, you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, it's awfully hard to wonder, like, to say $16 million is not enough for you. You know, you're a winger. You're not a center. Very, very top, good player, great player, but not the best player in the league. But maybe that's it. Maybe he doesn't want to marry himself to Minnesota and the Minnesota Wild for 8 years. And
yeah, I get it. Yeah, like, from a business standpoint and also his age, right? Like, if he commits to 8 years and he's kind of saying, I'm playing in Minnesota my whole career. And so maybe he doesn't want to do that. I know some people might not want to hear that. And it's no different with Connor McDavid. There's a chance McDavid's whole career might not be spent in Edmonton. That's just the reality. Like, the odds of his whole career being in Edmonton are pretty low when you look at the history of the game, right? There's very few Steve Yzermans out there, right? There's not that many of them. So, you know, heck, Sidney Crosby's career might not all be in Pittsburgh. You know, the majority of it is, and Order fans are hoping the vast majority of McDavid's prime years are here, and so far they have been. And I really don't see any reason why he won't sign another deal, although I fully expect it to be a shorter-term deal at this phase for a variety of reasons. But, you know, Kaprizov's kind of in the same boat. Jack Eichel came out today, because those are the top three guys who potentially, and that's a key word, could be UFAs. And he was like, no, I'd like to re-sign in Vegas. And, you know, there's lots of big names, Spec, but at the end of the day, very few of them actually end up going to free agency. So Kaprizov might not sign for 8 years. I won't be stunned if he signs for four.
No, and, you know, different markets, like, let's face it, Vegas, as long as Vegas has a really good team and a Stanley Cup contender, they're at the very top of the heap of places you want to play, right? You know, you don't have the Canadian thing where you can't walk the street. They have no state tax. They have a good team. It's a beautiful place to live. You can go to a restaurant and not be known. Like Tampa's, you know, some of those American cities, if they put a contender down there, it's really hard to compete. So let's talk about Kaprizov in Minnesota. Minnesota, some guys don't want to live necessarily their whole career in Minnesota because it's cold, it's winter. I get it. I live in Edmonton. They're also not a contending Stanley Cup contending team. You know, the Edmonton Oilers, we know now that when you're contending for a cup, you got a chance at free agents. When you got Draisaitl and McDavid, you got a great chance to land free agents. When you're not a very good team and not contending, nobody wants to come play in Edmonton. So, you know, that all of those factors.
They'll
come.
You just got to pay them more. Lucic, Sekera, they'll still come. You just got to pay them more.
You overpay and it doesn't work. You pay a $6 million player $9 million, and how's that work for your team? So, you know, and my point is this, that of course Jack Eichel wants to stay down there. Great team, great market, great organization. It's all perfect. You know, are they going to win for a long time? I mean, that's what Connor McDavid was asking up here. How long are the Oilers going to be really good for? Well, I think they can be really good for the next 4 years for sure, don't you?
Yeah, you know what I will say, though, about Vegas? Because I've had a few people that they say, Man, everyone says, oh, it's too cold in Edmonton. Try to live in Vegas when it's so hot that it's not fun. So there's always the extremes. Like, yeah, it's cold in Edmonton for about 3 weeks of the year. Like minus 10, minus 8 is not, and especially when you're an NHL player. You go in your heated garage at home, you drive your car, you go to the underground parking at the rink, right? Like and the guys who like it, like Ekholm, they like the weather. So it's to me more about being a competitive team than anything else. And if you can stay competitive, Detroit was not a city of bliss. Players stayed there all the time. There's a few little unique neighborhoods they could live in. They were fine. But the team was ultra competitive for two decades and spent boatloads of money. And so people were there. So to me, as much as it's about weather, I think that's a small percentage. It's more about the chance to win. But here's the truth. It's hard, like when free agency leaves to go chase the winner, like tell me how that works out. It's hard to leave and go somewhere else and have it be better.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of guys who've tried.
Yeah.
Jerome Gill has tried.
How many have success? Yeah.
And then it is. It's hard to chase a Stanley Cup if that's what you're getting at, for sure. Like Marian Hossa was on the wrong end of it for a while. He ended up in Chicago finally, and now he's a Hall of Famer and he's got his rings.
His was different. His was a plan where he signed it. He took less money for 1 year in Detroit. Why? Because he wanted to learn how to win and he wanted to be around that environment. Right. So because he only signed 1 year in Detroit, and then he signed in Chicago and they won. Right. So he got traded. Right. But
did he not sign a year in Pittsburgh and lost to Detroit?
No, he got dealt at the trade deadline.
Oh, got dealt. So he ended up in Pittsburgh. Yeah. He lost to Detroit.
And then he signed 1 year. And then he signed 1 year in Detroit after being in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
And lost to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then ended up in Chicago and won. Yes. So, hey, this isn't me. Let's make this clear. I got nothing bad to say about Marian Hossa. He's one of the best power forwards I've ever seen in my life. So he was a great, great player. Solid citizen. Good guy. It's hard to chase. It's hard to know what to do. It's hard to find the right team. And now with this cap system, for a guy that's going to make 16, 17 million, whether you're McDavid or Eichel or Kaprizov, it's hard to find a situation where they can fit you in and they got enough good players around you that you could win. This example in Edmonton, there's no better example. They have built and tried and worked and tried different things and brought in really good players and drafted McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard and got to two cups and they still haven't won. Like you don't need to tell anyone else outside our market in the 780 here. It's wicked hard to win. They finally get to the cup a couple times and they match up against Florida. And let's face it, man, Florida just had something they were better in. Now you're going up again this year. It's another big, long run, and I think the Oilers can get to the cup and win it this year. I honestly do. But, oh, boy, it's a long road to get there, isn't it?
Oh, it's hard, yeah. When I hear, I want to win. Well, yeah, they all want to win. There's only one winner every year, right? Like this. And with 32 teams now, there's always been more players who don't win than win. And now that number just keeps increasing. All the time, the percentage of players who win, who don't. And I understand, and I've always said, Spec, in 30 years, the elite players not winning will be much more the norm than it was when you had 21 teams and even six, because just do the math. You could get them all together and whatever. It was great. And now it's just, you can be a really good player who just, maybe you're not on a good team and you're on a good team, but not a great team. And that's going to happen for lots of guys. So I understand the thirst for it, but and I get why Connor McDavid's not rushing into it. He's going to look at all things. At the end of the day, I think he's going to look at everything and then come back and say, okay, so if I leave here, right, it's like moving the chessboard. I move here. Well, what are they going to do? What's going to happen? Like, because if he just left as a free agent, right? A team that acquires him doesn't have $17 million in cap space that's any good. So then they would get him, but then they got to trade off some guys just to get rid of money. So if anybody wants him to go, then they're probably going to try to do a sign and trade before the contract is up, right? Like in June or something. And then you'll weaken it a little bit because, and you're not just like Vegas was lucky because Petrangelo got career-ending injury. That's the only reason they could get Mitch Marner. Everybody forgets that. That's the only reason they could get Mitch Marner. If Petrangelo was healthy, they couldn't afford him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, listen, it's a big puzzle. There's no question. And, Connor McDavid's trying to play his end of the puzzle here. Jerome McGinley tried to play his puzzle. and never found this, never solved it, right? Tried his best, went to Pittsburgh, went to Boston, went to wherever, Colorado, I think.
Yep.
Never won his cup. Hell, Wayne Gretzky never won a cup after he left Edmonton. Let's mm-hmm. face it.
Yep.
So it's, you know, a lot of guys are playing the game and not many are winning at it. I think that's fair to say.
Oh God, it's just, it's so hard, right? Like at the end, it's just so hard. And I think some people can twist themselves. Now there's going to be some players that will be like, you know what? They might just juggle it and say, I know the odds of winning are against me. So why not go play somewhere where I like? And I could see players doing that. Like I won't be stunned if Kaprizov some point later in his career ends up in New York, because a lot of the Russian players love the lifestyle of New York, right? There's a lot more of a Russian areas that you can go that feels like home.
Oh, yeah.
So I can understand why that becomes appealing to players.
Hey, listen, Minnesota's got a lot of the same vibes that Edmonton has. If you're a guy from Europe and you're looking for the big city, you're not thinking of Minneapolis or St. Paul or Edmonton or Calgary. It's just the way it is, right? You know, I've been to Brighton Beach in New York. One time was looking for Boris Mironov, of all people. I went out to Brighton Beach, and it's like, I haven't been to Moscow. That's the closest I've been to it. Like the street signs, like the signs on all the buildings are in Russian,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the store, it's whatever the store is, it's Russian, some Russian store. It's a Russian restaurant. It's a Russian dry cleaner. Like it's all Russia, man. So if that's what a guy craves, he ain't finding that in St. Paul, I'm here to tell you. So to each their own, there's a reason they let a guy become a UFA at age 27 or whatever the number is now, because the guys are in their right. You know, I'm a free agent with my contracts up every year. They're not hunting after me the way they're hunting after Kaprizov, believe me, but it's my right to sign with Sportsnet or sign with someone else. Jason, you're an entrepreneur. You can do what you want. No one's telling you what to do. So why are we telling Connor McDavid or Kirill Kaprizov what to do?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. I let them make the decision. And I firmly believe McDavid. I bet you I still believe that Kaprizov will stay in Minnesota. And just because he doesn't get 8 years, Wild fans have said this all along. Shorter term is better for both sides. I firmly believe that. I really believe it is, because it'll encourage your team to want to stay competitive, to keep the guy happy, have them want to stay there and compete. So we'll see how it goes. The Edmonton Elks, we had JC Sherritt on the show earlier today. The defense.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And, you know, defense has taken some pretty big strides. And, you know, he talked about his play calling and asked, like, you know, how do you prove it? He goes, hey, like, how much you put on yourself? He goes, hey, it's more on the players. But I did love what he said. He goes, when the players can play faster now, they got more experience, the call sheet looks better, right? So you can call the right plays, but if the guys aren't capable yet or don't have the experience, you got to simplify things. But now it's a combination of they know more, so I can call more, and it makes, you know, it makes the call sheet look better because they have the ability to make more plays.
Yeah, I don't know enough, you know. I wasn't able to hear that interview. I'd love to talk to JC Sherritt about it. He's obviously played the game for years and he's a really smart defensive guy. You know, the difference in the Calgary game between quarterback pressure that ended up with sacks, whereas for many games prior to that, that pressure never materialized in a sack. Mm-hmm. It was just pressure. And either the guy got away, the quarterback, or he threw the ball downfield. Defensive backs again in that last Calgary game that were stapled right on Calgary Stampeder receivers when they were making, like, let's say it's second and eight and they're running a 9-yard route.
Yeah.
You know, I felt in the game against Calgary for the first time, the DBs were all over that short pass and they knocked a whole bunch of them down. Is that the players just being more aggressive? Is that the defensive coordinator telling them, hey, step up and be more aggressive? If you get beat deep, I'm fine with that. Like, I don't know why it happens, but I, you know, I'm just the guy, like the guy in the stands, Jay. You could clearly see that defense was more aggressive. They were more, the DBs gave less yardage off the line of scrimmage. The pass rush looked like it was a little more complicated and they had a few more plays going on and a few more blitzes. It was a better defense against Calgary than we've seen all year.
Yes. And well, I talked to JC about that. And he actually said, a lot of that has just come down. Your players are reacting quicker now because they know what's coming, right? And so, and he said your D-line and your secondary is connected very much. So sometimes when your secondary is covering better and they're up pressuring, then guess what? You allow more time sometimes for your D-lineman to get to the quarterback. And then on the other side, when your D-linemen are starting to go now, a lot of times your DBs don't have to cover as long because they're getting to the quarterback quicker. So it kind of, you know, both hands shake each other and they pat each other on the back when one's doing well. Obviously, sometimes the other one has to, you know, pick up for the other one. But I do believe that they have, because the players are recognizing plays quicker now, they're able to call more and you can be a bit more aggressive because now they've got experience. Like, okay, I've seen this package enough that now I know what they're going to do. So I can be up a little bit more rather than be hesitant of what they're going to run.
Yeah. Let's get there. Like, how long have we been waiting to have this conversation about a defense that's maturing and figuring it out and looks like it could play on its toes, right? And isn't just giving up the 10 yard play because they're defending against the 30 yard play. Like, you know, you can't win that way. So it's a welcome stage. If they've reached a new stage, Jay here and this defense in Edmonton, hey, man, I'm all for it. You know, we're all ready to see a more mature Elks team with the same guys week after week that aren't turning over like a turnstile. You know, we're, I think Elks fan / Edmonton football fan, they deserve this. It's time to have a defense that we're talking about the way we're talking about this one.
And, Speck, you know, the Jays right now, they're entertaining all the time. You watched that game last night.
I did.
You know, they don't have a hit, and all of a sudden Springer hits a home run in the sixth. And then you get to the ninth inning. And what's unique about the Jays is they've actually, I think I saw a stat the other day that since, like, May 15th or something, they're fifth in MLB in home runs, right? Like, they didn't hit a home run barely to start the season, but now they hit quite a few of them, right? And Varsho's, for his games play to home runs, he's killing it, right? Even George Springer. But the Jays still have lots of ways to beat you in small ball, Spec. And it, usually the small ball, it comes from guys like Heinemann last night, right?
Yep.
And, you know, a guy they just claimed off of waivers, who I know is in his second tour now, but IVF comes in and he gets a huge single for their team. What about Vladdy Guerrero running out an infield hit to get that? But then also, what about his defensive play, Spec, in the 10th inning to read that and get Altuve at third base?
Yeah, so these are the little things in baseball. Like, this is what we love about baseball. If you're a baseball nerd, which I at one point in my life was and am still a little bit, like that play from first to third. First of all, not that many first basemen have a cannon like that ball that went from first to third. It looked more like a third baseman throwing it to first. You know what I'm saying? Like, not many first basemen can put that kind of mustard on a ball across a diamond. Vladdy caught that thing, and I mean, he got it to Barger so fast, Altuve was dead in arrival. So that's a little nerdy baseball play that you don't see very often, and it's a giant play in that game, man. A giant play. I'm not gonna heap praise on a guy who makes, what does Vladdy make? I don't even know, millions and millions of dollars, who runs out an infield single. You're getting paid to run out the damn infield single. So I will say this. Vladdy's level of hustle here in the last, you know, this season, he runs that out every day. Like, he's not a big, fat, and sassy guy who just jogs to first base like so many baseball guys do. It makes me crazy. He runs that ball out. It turns out to be a really important play. And I'm going to tell you, Heinemann got a little lucky. He was supposed to lay a bunt down and failed two times and then slap the ball to first base. Good for him. Like, they don't ask how, they ask how many. But, you know, maybe things are going your way. He was supposed to bunt and couldn't get one down. Makes a nice ball to first base. They win the ball game. That's a ball team that doesn't quit on you, man.
Yeah.
They're down 3-1 in the ninth and they tied it up. I watched every second of it and I thought, you know what? Good for you guys. There was no quit in that ball team last night.
I'll say this. They're entertaining to watch.
Yes.
Know, they are entertaining to watch.
And don't walk away.
No.
Like 3-1, man. Watch the ninth inning, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they will come back for sure. Spec, we will chat with you tomorrow as the rookies hit the ice and the Elks will find out if Brinkman and others are going to play or not. So have a good one.
Yeah, I'll see you down at the rink tomorrow.
There you go. That's